Before starting with our actual talk, by way of introduction, our honorable illustrious Sheikh, the Qari of Allah Ta'ala, the Rumi of our time, the second Tabriz, and the Mujaddid of the soul of Hadrat Mawlana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Rahimahumullah Ta'ala, Rahmatan Wasi'a, said that before every bayan, make muzakara, discuss one sunnah of Hadrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And with regard to the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to understand the value, the importance of it, one example, it's not a long time that we used to buy rice, and we knew that in the rice there are pieces of stone also, small twigs of grass also. We knew that we used to buy the rice with them, and we should pay for the stones the price of rice. We should pay for the twigs the price of rice. When we pay, we don't say subtract so much. We pay for that also. After buying it, we should look after that rice, that though the sun, the rain, weather conditions, some animals, somebody steals it, we should look after it. In that, we were looking after the pieces of stones also, and the pieces of twigs also. Why? Because it was worth the rice. But when the house ladies sat and they cleaned the rice and they put the stones one side, the pieces of grass one side, they threw it outside. Now we didn't look after it. Now the dogs urinate on it, people trample on it, nobody worries about it. Because now it is separated from the rice. Just like that, this ummah, as long as we were connected with sunnahs, with the masjid, with Quran Sharif, with the ulama, then we were like stones, we are like pieces of twigs. But because we were connected with masjid, with sunnahs, with deen, Allah looked after us as He looks after His deen. And nobody separated us, we separated ourselves. Now we are like the stones lying outside. So the dogs urinate on it, the drinkers of wine, and the eaters of swine, they urinate on it, they trample on it, nobody says anything. Today, what is the condition of the ummah in the whole world? And there is no outside force that has brought this upon us. We brought it upon ourselves. And what did we do? We separated ours. Today we haven't got time for deen. Western standards are very much more important. Fashion, brand names, sunnah hasn't got any value in our heart, in our lives. Quran Sharif hasn't got value. Masjids are not frequented. We are other places, we are going to more important. Sports is more important. Other social gatherings are more important. Places of haram are more important. And our madrasas, our masjids are being neglected. So we threw ourselves outside. So today the eaters of swine and the drinkers of wine, they are trampling on us and nobody to ask. And the solution is also very simple. No big thing. We don't have to have a big fund. You accumulate a lot of money. We don't need a big army. We don't need big offices and buildings and computers. Nothing. Just start bringing sunnats in your life. Sunnats are so loved by Allah Ta'ala. We will be connected with sunnats. How Allah protects sunnats, He will protect us. So simple it is. And every person can do it. A young boy, a young girl, old man, busy man, free person, everyone can do it. Just start bringing the sunnat lifestyle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our life, and we'll have once more value with Allah, and Allah will protect us. Today the dressing of the West, our children, we can't recognize them. A child is coming half his class, the amama, dhobi, kurta, everything is gone. On a weekend, holiday, you can't recognize him as a Muslim also. Eh? So this is what we do, then Allah also does the same with us. Eh? We are like comedians. Eh? When Ramzan comes, extra special we are pious. Afterwards, we again reborn to our own lifestyle. So we bring deen properly in our lives, Allah's help will be with us. One sunnah that comes to mind, and with regard to the subject of today, is that a person must make an actual effort, which we don't even think about, an actual effort that our ruh controls our nafs. At the moment, our nafs is controlling our ruh. I will explain this. But that effort, that is what I'm trying to say, that is we should make that actual department of our life. Like we are in our house, we got a kitchen, we got bedroom, we got everything. And a house without a toilet also is not complete. Even a toilet is required. Everything is required in the house. If in the house there is everything, but we didn't put electricity, then we are going to have problems. We didn't put water. Like that, this is one of the most essential things in our life, to give time to. And that we learn that our ruh must control our nafs. If we just leave it like that, the nafs is controlling the ruh. So that is also a great effort of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it was this effort really that changed the history of mankind. That changed the geography of the world. How many countries were not Muslim countries became Muslim countries. The history of the world changed when the Muslims made the effort. Made an effort on them. People, as the poet says so beautifully, your foot raf kelehi chay. The Sahaba before Islam, they were not on the right path themselves, they were astray. Your foot raf kelehi chay, or okay, hadi kelehi. They became the guides of the other people. Your murda chay, masiha kelehi. Those people who were dead, they had no values of life. How rotten the lives were of the people before Islam. But they gave life to other people. The dead people, spiritually who were dead, they became alive, and they gave life to the people of the world till today. Whoever gets alive today is in the sadqa of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. And there was the sadqa of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this effort of what we call islah and tazkiyah, to correct our lives. And what is this correction? That our ruh controls the nafs, and the nafs must control the ruh. So this sunnah, that, and it is an effort of every senior to make on the juniors. And it is an effort of every junior that he goes to the seniors and he learns this effort and he makes this effort that in our lives, our ruh must control our nafs. So for that, this ayat al-kareema that I have recited, in the first ayat of the 13th surah, it is Surah Yusuf, and what a beautiful surah, Surah Yusuf. What great lessons in Surah Yusuf. And these are the words of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, who is a Nabi of Allah. Such a great Nabi that Allah kept one whole surah's name on his name, Surah Yusuf. And Allah quoted his whole incident in the Quran Sharif. And today our recitation of Quran Sharif can never be complete that we don't read Surah Yusuf. Our Tarawih won't be completed. And in this ayat, what does Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam say? وَمَا تُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي. I don't say that my nafs is pure and clean. Because the nafs, he says himself, إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ. Nafs by its nature is ammara. Ammara is the superlative. Like we say, tall, taller, tallest. Big, bigger, biggest. The most, the root, commands you with suit, with evil, all the time. There is no limit. The nafs continuously, in fact, the Rahman al-Shah, Bashar Ali Khani, Rahmatullah Ali says, if a person wants to know when some is getting attacks or temptation of committing guna, how will you know whether it is shaitan who bringing this temptation or whether it is your nafs? The simple way every person can understand, if the temptation came one time and it didn't come again, that was from shaitan. Because shaitan is a very busy man. His work is to make the whole world go astray. He hasn't got time to work on one individual all the time. But every person is nafs, that is what he. Every person has got it. So if that temptation is coming over and over, that is from nafs. So that is how much nafs puts you into a fitna and puts temptations in front of you. And now you want good, good people. Five times namaz is the hajjit guzar. Ulama, nafs is with them also. It can be a wali, it can be a sufi, nafs is with them also. And nafs is continuously telling you to commit evil. Ammara is so. And this so, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali in his unique training, the way used to say that this is barwadan bichu. Bichu is so. Bichu is a scorpion. Scorpion that poisons you like a snake, bites you and poisons you. Nafs is like that. And not better, continuous sentiments. Look at that woman. Do this, do that. What will you get up for Fajr today? It's late already, you won't make it in any case. Just sleep over today. Nafs is all the time telling you to do evil. So when this is the case, nafs is the enemy. And who of us, just think of today, our memories are not so weak. Today, who of us thought that this enemy of mine, nafs, it is causing me harm, it's putting temptations in front of me. I must be on my guard for this. If somebody had to tell us that there is a speed trap, or they are checking for seat belts, or if a certain robot, the cops are standing to see who should not stop it at the red light, how much precaution won't we take? If somebody has to tell us there's a snake in your garden, how much precaution won't we take? And if the snake is in your house and the snake is under your bed, what will be our condition? Wallah, 100 times worse than a snake, or they are robbers, and they are mugging the people there. We warn everyone, be careful, these people are mugging the people, they are robbing the people, we take our precaution. Nafs is a 100 times more worse enemy, but we don't even think of that is enemy. And shaitan is the enemy from outside. Nafs is the enemy from inside. And shaitan is the enemy from outside. And both of them, as Raja Aziz al Hasan Sahib al Zubra, in his beautiful poems, he says, Nafso shaitan, dono ne milkar, aayyari mutko taba. Nafs and shaitan have joined. Also remember, every unity is not good. Unity is good, but not all. If all the crooks unite, then what will happen? Eh? So, nafs and shaitan united. Nafs o shaitan, dono ne milkar khaal, yaani mujhko daba, but nothing to worry so much. Hey, mere maula, meri madad kar, chahta hu main teri pana. If you seek Allah's help, nafs and shaitan can't harm you one time. But we didn't take that precaution. We didn't think nafs and shaitan is our enemy. And let us take Allah's help. Today, who of us saw? If there is somebody, put up your hand, that these two terrible enemies are mine. And they are out to destroy me, destroy my dunya, my family, my business, my health, my akhirat, my qabr, they are there. I must take my precaution. I must ask take Allah's help. I must seek Allah's help. Nobody of us thought of it. So then, how can a person get protected? Because we are not even aware of the enemy. So we should be aware of this enemy. Do not even kar hai kya ni mujhko utara. मेरे मौला मेरी मदद कर, चाहता हूँ मैं तेरी पना, मुझसा कोई नहीं खल्क में खो बद किरदार नामा सिया.
Thanks, nobody has cared as me. Eh? We don't in our family, we've got 5, 6, 7, and they save us all. One child is handicapped. He's retarded. Most attention goes to that child. Eh? The other children, they can do their own work. Hurry up, wash up, put your bags in the car, we're going now, it's time to go. The retarded child, nobody shouts him. We will pick up his bags, we do everything. So when we regard ourselves as the worst, Allah's help comes out. And when we regard ourselves, no, I can do my own things. I can fight shaitan, I can fight nafs, I don't need Allah's help. Then Allah's help is, and nobody can fight shaitan. Nobody can fight nafs, Allah's help is not there. So when you take Allah's help, now you like that retarded child, like that handicapped child, and Allah's full help is with you. And once you get Allah's help, what more do you need? And when Allah will protect you, nafs and shaitan cannot harm. So let us realize we've got these two arch enemies. And they on a regular basis be aware. Wherever we are walking, we are in our office, our secretary walks in, nafs and shaitan walks in with us. And now look at her, how she's dressed and there. When you are walking on the street, nafs and shaitan is there all the time. These enemies of us are there. But if we take, wallah, I say, in these times when we feel you can't save yourself from dhina, this little bit effort in the line of the soul, and Allah gave us the feel to make the al-nukut, al-mashayikh, we stayed in their company, we saw them, they saw us, we tried to learn from them, they taught us, and when useless beings like us, dirty and filthy, how many people's lives are changing. Wallah, I can say, in the masjid I'm sitting, young girls, 18, 20 years, their lives have become like Parishas. Otherwise, an 18, 20-year-old girl, what's her life? One person, a professor in the university, and he writes, what's the dressing of the girls in the university? You go to any of our universities, you think you're in Europe. You have what? Terrible the dressing, but how he protects himself. Hey, how many other people have left? How many people? Their lives have changed, and they took Allah's help. This is the means, and then you won't say that today I can't control my eyes. Today I can't control my anger. These things will go out of you. You will realize that in this time of fitna, Allahu Akbar, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali gives such a beautiful example. He said, Switzerland can make a watch that is waterproof, and you put it in 2,200 meters of water. Forget a drop of water, the vapor of water also won't go in that watch. You may need water. When Switzerland can do that, then Khaliq al-Samawati wal Ard, the creator of the heavens and the earth, what is it difficult for him to create a heart, to make a heart that is waterproof, that is sunproof? You just take his heart and your heart will become sunproof. Not a drop of sun, not the vapor, the thought, like Yusuf alayhi salam. Young, handsome man, young man. And when you're at your youth, the most precious time of your life, and your energy, and your desires, your emotions are at their height. And Zulaikha, beautiful woman. And all the arrangements made, privacy. Nobody will interfere. Nobody will know. And the offers, hey, Allah, come, Yusuf. Now everything is said. And not the thought of guna passing. Today also it is the same Allah. The Allah of Yusuf a.s. is the Allah today of Ismail and Ishaq and Yunus, is the Allah of Fatima and Aisha and Khadija. That same Allah will protect you, that not even the thought of guna will come to you. But without this, we know what is our condition. We know what is happening. Forget any woman tempting us on the streets, we going on the filth and dirt on the internet. And good people. And they, not only that they see this haram, but they have destroyed their wealth also. They are gone, they can't pay the repayments on their credit cards. Downloading this first, downloading that first. What we know, houses are breaking, marriages are breaking, children are being thrown apart, just because, and nobody, you go yourself on the internet. Not that the woman on the street are inviting you. This is because we are not learning how to control our nafs. Our nafs is controlling us. And if the nafs is in control, you are on corner. You got your BMW that you can do 200 kilometers in a few seconds. not of power. You know how to control your beer? No problem. You can drive. The road is clear. Everything is fine. You can go 160. You can go 180. 200 you can go. But now you have a 15-year-old son. So then he drives so fast. He got hold of the key. And he started. And how many cases are happening? Now they will drive. They smash the car immediately. The first then they can't take it. They become wife, friends over there. Hey, speed up. Come, I can't. You can't do 200. You can't do 150. And when there is no occasion for doing that, and then you can expect how many of our young boys and girls have been killed in such accidents. All the occupants of the car. It's happening on a regular basis in our. Why? The driver was not in control. The power car is powerful. And the Mercedes, the BMW, the Ferrari, powerful car. But you are not in control. The car became in control of you. You are destroyed. The same thing, your ruh is powerful, very powerful. And the nafs, if the ruh controls the nafs, you can become, Allah, I say, in these times, in here, in Malaysia, in South Africa, anywhere in the world, today you can become superior than your farishtas. You can reach that speed and that height where the malaika also cannot reach. But the only thing, that your ruh controls your nafs. Otherwise, if your nafs is in control, you will destroy yourself. You won't be able to move at all. You will make a terrible accident. So Allah has made every person, all of us, we are made of two major components. One is this body of ours, and one is the ruh. The body gets made in the mother's womb in about 4 months, round about there, just about there. The whole body is made. The eyes, everything. And after that, then Allah puts the ruh into the body. Now life comes into that body. While that baby is within the mother, there is life. When she goes for a checkup, they will ask her, do you feel movements? Do you feel the child moving? That is very important. They do saunas to get the child breathing. Is the child breathing? Is the breathing regular or what? Everything they will do to bring now life has come in there. Or another example, when this masjid was getting built, our houses, any building, we needed electricity also. So we got the electrician, we gave him a contract, 100, 200, 500, 1000 rand, whatever the contract was. He started working and he checked our walls, he put his pipes, he collected money, he put the wiring, he collected more money, he started putting all the things, all the appliances, whatever, fans, whatever, but no life works. Nothing is working. But when the inspector came, the electricity inspector, and he checked, no, everything is right, electricity, wiring is right, everything is in order. 1 second he put the switch on, light came, power came, the fan started working, the heater started working, fridge is working, everything is working. Just like that, when the child was made in the mother's womb, it was made complete, Allah put the ruh, now everything started. Now the child had to eat, drink, everything that happened there. Wow, the power has come in, that is the ruh. Now, and that brings this child, this person in this world, and both these things are going together. The nafs and everything today in the world practically, almost, you can say 100% is being done for the nafs. Okay? Here in Malaysia, your CBD, your commercial area, you get shops for everything, shoes, clothing, you'll get a dentist, you'll get a doctor, you'll get hospitals, you'll get private clinics, government hospitals, everything you will get. For what is all this? For the nafs. All this arrangement is for the nafs. We can eat, we have electricity, we have water, we have cars, garages, restaurants, all the facilities made for the nafs. Yet in dance, is there any facility for the ruh? Eh? The nafs gets sick, you go to doctor. The body. You go to hospital. You go to the palace. You get medicine. All the facilities are there. Everything. You get the doctor who will refer you to a specialist. He will refer you to other people. They have blood tests. One time in a hospital of Bombay, one Khalifa of Hazrat Maulana Shah Abraham al-Haqsa, Rahmatullah Ali, was there in the hospital and he had to do an operation on him. So they needed the signature. So he said, I first asked my spiritual doctor. He asked, who is your spiritual doctor? We are your doctors. medical doctors, physical doctors, where, who is a spiritual doctor? So if you get all the doctors of the hospital together, then I'll explain who is a spiritual doctor. They got all the doctors together, Muslims, non-Muslims, mostly, all of them. So you don't even see, you people regularly take our blood for blood tests. We check our cholesterol, we check our sugar, kidney function, thyroid function, all different things. You people regularly take in our blood. Tell me in your test, can you ever test how much of shirk is in me? How much of hasad, jealousy is in me? How much of pride is in me? How much of doing things for riya, the sum'ah, for name and show? How much of that is in my blood? He said, no, that we can't show. So that is the work of a spiritual doctor. And we have Rohan spiritual doctor. I'm not talking of these doctors whose adverts come in all the newspapers and who do the most absurd things and the most funny things. I'm not talking about these doctors. I'm talking about those spiritual doctors who will treat your spiritual diseases. Right? So this is, we don't have that facility. You go to an airport, every type of arrangement and for safety and security, everything is there. You go to a harbor, a port, anywhere, all the things are for you, for nafs. But for ruh, there is absolutely nothing that is built there. If there are few madrasas, they are like schools and universities that are built. If there are masjid, they are like the churches and the temples. But a spiritual hospital, we don't have a spiritual hospital. And as we get physically ill, we need, we get spiritually ill also. How many of us will admit, my anger is out of control, my eyes are out of control, I cry so hard, but I just look at other women. My thoughts are out of control. The worst thoughts of come to me in my mind in that also. While I am reading Quran Sharif, I am reading Durood Sharif, and I am thinking of the worst things. So you need treatment, you are a sick person. You have to be treated for all that. Now where is the hospital for that? That is what we call a khanqa. Where you will get the treatment. And Allah, I say, where is it? That is the same Allah that was in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, who gave us the deen for success till the day of Qiyamah. The deen of Islam was not now only for the Camel Age, was not only for the deserts of Arabia. The deen of Islam is till the day of Qiyamah. And it is for the whole world. But it is for us to bring this deen into us. Today, we haven't got that desire, that talab of being also. Allah, you all the dear jama'at, where and where they go, who and who they make happen, they create the urge for me. Then Allah, you all our ulama who are running our makati, the primary madaris, where a person learns to read Quran Sharif correctly, where he learns the basic masalas of deen, of aqai, belief, of wuzu, of tahara, of namaz, how to make, what makes breaks your namaz, what breaks your rosa, what doesn't, all the details they teach in the masjid. Allah reward the people who are running our darul ulooms and who are maintaining and sponsoring the darul ulooms, where our children will become hafiz and qari and alims and they serve the community. All this is in its place. This is all the picture. But if the reality is not in there, for example, small children, they in Montessori, in primary, in grade 1, etc. They are given a picture of a lion. It's just an example, I'm not explaining any masala, to color in the lion. The child is a child, he takes a scissor, he cuts off the tail of the lion. He says, see how brave I am. Lion, I can cut off the tail. He takes a knife and he pokes it in the eyes of the lion. I'm so brave, what can the lion do to me? Lion can't do me anything. It's a picture of a lion. Another lion is a real lion, but it is in a zoo. It is in a cage, thick iron bars are there. And there is written also, don't interfere and trouble the animals, don't throw stones, but children are children. They want to show how brave I can throw a stone at. I'm there, 1 or 2 meters away from the lion. Lion can't do me anything. Takes a stick and push it in, and one is a lion in a jungle, free lion, trying to interfere with that lion. How many of us are pictures? That is why today the enemies of Muslims and the enemies of Islam, what are they doing with the Muslims in Syria, in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in Egypt, throughout the world? Because we are picture Muslims. One was that time when they were real Muslims. Nobody non-Muslim, Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, He's resting in the sand, the courtyard of Masjid Nabawi, lying down making qayyula. He just takes a turn, and the emperor of Rome, he messes his trouser. So much fear they had for the Muslims. They couldn't look at the Muslim in the eye. So much fear they had for the Muslims, because they were real Muslims. They were not preacher Muslims. They were not artificial clouds. They were real Muslims. And today we can bring that true Islam, not a picture. Today most of us, nice shogi or even amama, nice beard, kunda, I'm a good Muslim. I follow sunnah. We haven't smelled sunnah stuff. Only we got some picture of sunnah. What is sunnah? For example, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us with Anas radiallahu ta'ala anas, that, oh Anas, when you go to sleep at night, clear your heart of all malice, hatred, jealousy, bad thoughts for any and everyone. Sleep with a clean heart. This is my sunnah. And if you can, practice the sunnah. The sunnah we don't think. The sunnah we ask always, is it sunnah to eat something sweet before meals or after meals? And because we're not getting a clear answer, we're eating both things. So we make sure we make amal on the sunnah. Whereas, Maulana, Mufti, somebody asked him, well, when is it sunnah to eat something sweet, before meals or after? He said, the Sahaba for months and months didn't get food. There was no question of when to eat sweet. They shouldn't get food. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's house, Aisha sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, three moons used to pass, two full months, and we shouldn't light the fire in the house. There was nothing to cook. That is sunnah. Who of us practice that sunnah? So this sunnah, the reality, and the reality of the sunnah, not just the outward form. Today I've got a nice beard also, tobi amama. I do my kashd also, I go khanfa also, everything I do. When I'm on my free, I'm on the filth and dirt on my phone. I'm on the filth and dirt on the internet. Which sunnah are we for? Who are we fooling? And every fanda is not watching. No, we with the reality of sunnah, bring. So this nafs, we have to bring the nafs under. Nafs is in control of us. Even we are making our namaz, for sure that is a namaz of nafs. There are two types of namaz the Quran Sharif describes. One is that namaz the Quran Sharif says, for waylun lil musallin. There is punishment for those people who make namaz. What kind of namaz? Alladheena hum an salatihim sahoon. They are unmindful. Outwardly, the picture of namaz is there, but they are in a nightclub. They are in their businesses. They are flirting with some woman while they are in namaz. That namaz, Allah says, punishment for them. Then there is another namaz which the Quran describes, قَدْ أَفْتَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Those mu'mineen have become 100% successful, who have got concentration, devotion. Who of us today, we made Isha now, we made our sunnahs, we made Witr, how much concentration? Where were our thoughts while we were in namaz? And do we ever think that I must make my namaz a namaz? It mustn't just be a picture of namaz. The reality of namaz must come in my namaz. We don't even think of it. And just a picture, remember also that at the time of Maud, when we go in the Qur'an, when Malakul Maud will come, وَحُصِّلَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. What is in your heart will be taken out. Mawlana Muhammad Mustafa Al-Ankuri Rahmatullah Ali used to give this beautiful example that you have a parent, you taught it beautiful to make salam. You taught it to make zikr, take the name of Allah. Many things you taught it. Under normal conditions, the parent sings beautifully. Visitors come, you tell, Niyami too. Make Allah, Allah, zikr, give azan, make salam. Everyone is happy. But one day, that parent comes in the claws of the dog or the claws of the cat. He came out insane, and now the cat wants to eat it. The dog wants to eat it. It will forget its azan. It will forget its zikr, everything. What voice is it? Recorded in its heart. That voice will come out. At the time of Maud, if we did not make our zikr, the hadith says, it is that thing that will make your iman strong in your heart. We never made zikr. We never made this, we never established iman in our hearts. And the time of Malakul Maud, if he comes, and then with this kalima that we are reading, we won't come on our tongue. And we won't be able to read kalima unless we make regularly our zikr. zikr, the Quran, the stress, the hadith has said, a person that regularly makes his zikr. And what is the zikr that you have to make? To remember Allah, that children who are becoming hafiz, you see, when they are learning, they're moving also like this. Then they are learning, Sabbih Isma, Sabbih Isma, Sabbih Isma, Rabbika al-A'la, Sabbih Isma, Rabbika al-A'la. They learn it, they learn the sabah. They went Abrawa al-Ustah. Many students got this complaint. When I read to myself, I know it. When I read to my friend, I know it. When I go by my mansa, then I get mistakes. I get excited. They say we get excited. So the same way zikr is to remember Allah under all conditions. If somebody puts a gun to your head, you must have made so much zikr and Allah must be so much in your heart that they put the gun and Allah comes out. Wallah, I say that gun will fail. Maybe that gun is a blank gun, but you go blank. Because he put a gun to your head. But if you have Allah in your heart and just Allah comes out, the world will turn around. And the Sahaba, what the awliya, what when this reality was there. Not just that when you put a blank gun and you become blank. That doesn't, and that will not happen to us, Allah save us all, inshallah. But regularly, when we walk now out of the masjid, you see a woman and we go blank. Now we forgot all the bayan we heard. We made umrah, we made tawaf, we were crying in front of the Kaaba. In front of the Nisa and the Barisan, we were crying. We came to the airport, some woman is sitting there. We forgot everything, our whole umrah we forgot. Our zikr and our tawbah we forgot. So that zikr, because we didn't make this. So much it must be in the heart, that at all confusion. Somebody comes and sends you back your goods, stolen goods, immediately. No, this is haram, I cannot do it. You won't do a haram deal. This is that zikr that has to be now. Then when Malakul Maut will come, easy Allah's name will come out. And you go into such a life of enjoyment, you can't imagine what enjoyment. Today we don't think of the akhir. We only think of dunya, my house, my garden, my bathroom must be perfect, my toilet must be perfect, my garden must be perfect, my deen, my akhir, my mother. We don't think. That is why Allah has put it. This is all because the nafs is in control. The nafs is in charge. And today Allah made me mark, whether we are ulama, whether we are imams, whether we are principals of Darul Uloom, whether we are ordinary people, almost everyone, because we don't think of it. So the nafs is in control. And what we have to do is put the ruh in control. Then see what service the nafs will give. And the nafs has got, you reach a position higher than the malaika if you just put your ruh in control. That is all we have to do. As long as your DM, you are in control. No problem, you are driving and you are enjoying carefully, you are moving. But the minute the car is in control of you, the car is out of control, what we say. When you press the brakes, it sits further and goes in. You turn this side, it shoots off in that side. When the car is out of control, it does the most absurd and funny things which you cannot imagine. This is when the nafs is in control. So this is the first condition of the nafs, which the Quran has explained. Then 15 suparas later, in the 28th supara, Allah explains the second condition of nafs for those people who recognize that nafs is my enemy, and I must save it, I must bring him under control. Then the nafs becomes nafs-e lawwama. Yet it is nafs-e ammara bis-su'. By nature, nafs of every person, it will tell you to do lot of haram, lot of wrong all the time. If you train, if you don't train, don't expect result. If you train, and in a sense, just one point, that after a journey of 15 suparas, then your nafs will become lawwama. In other words, after you have done great effort on your nafs, to control your nafs, let your nafs go down and your ruh come on top, then it will become nafs-e lawwama. What is nafs-e lawwama? Still it will tell you to do wrong. Still you will be doing wrong also, but you feel guilty now. Today, look, for one day, think to ourselves, how much didn't we look at other women? Did any one of us think also I'm making a guna? Do we even make doga and istighfar that Ya Allah today? And if your nafs becomes lawwama, the minute your nafs is nafs, it can be anyone. It will see a woman and it will take enjoyment. But immediately you will become conscious. Doga, astaghfirullah. La ilaha illallah. What did I do? How could I have looked at that woman? But we don't. We look more. And then we want to talk with the woman. We want to flirt around with her. Innocent flirting. We don't mean anything. Then if you don't mean anything, why are you flirting around? We're just joking. We're just talking. You've got your lips. Allah, but it is such a feat that it fools you and gets a big fool out of you. It gets you into... If butter doesn't melt in front of fire, it's not butter. If a man doesn't melt in front of a woman, he's not a man. Then by nature, the hadith says that women are not fisat and akhar, they got half brains. But the hadith says they make people of full brains, men, they strike them off their feet. When the woman just smiles a little at you and just says you one word, you forget everything, you're a hafiz, you're a maulana, you make the rawi, you went for Hajj Umrah, you forget everything. So dangerous it is. So see how much our nafs is out of control. So when you make this effort, now your nafs will feel guilty. I'm making guna. My namaz, what kind of namaz am I making? 50 years I'm making namaz, but no concentration in my namaz. 50 years I'm making, I'm going for Umrah every year, but no change in my life. Outside the people are saying, oh, Farishta, what a pious man. But I know myself, now you start feeling guilty. With regard to which Khaja Aziz al-Hasan Zafazur, Rahmatullah, he said, Barosa nakarna is nafs-e ammara ka ezaai. Never ever trust this nafs-e ammara, this evil nafs of yours. Even if you become inside, Zahi, a person who doesn't, no luxury in his life, no comfort also in his life, living a simple life, food simple, dressing simple, even no car, he's using public transport, he's coming down to earth. Even his nafs, bharosa na karna is sabse ammara ka izahi. Bharosa na karna is sabse ammara ka izahi. Ye farishta bhi ho jaye, to isse badgumaan. If your nafs become like a farishta, and now it's no more telling you, be careful, you don't know when it's going to take you away. Always realize my nafs is my enemy. Even if he becomes like your best friend, your farishta he becomes, but realize it's my enemy. Then you will be saved. One king who trained 24 cats in such a way he made them stand on their hind legs up. And a candle he puts on their head that they have lights in the driveway, walkway, we have lights on both sides. The cats were trained like that to stand up and with the candle on top. So he told his wazir, his chief minister, what do you think of my training? Look at this, how I train this cat. He said, we have to test. You can't just accept it with your own world value. We have to test. To test, we have to do the right test also. Many of us, we do the wrong test also. And we get that, when you do the wrong test, you're going to get wrong results. For example, Imam Ghazali, Rahmatullah, says, if you want to see all the heavenly objects, stars, and etc., you need a telescope. And if you look with a microscope, what are you going to see? And if you want to see germs, you need a microscope. You use a telescope. What will you see there? So our test also, I want to be to how we're going to get the right results. So anyway, so he said we must test this test. So for that he brought a rat in a bed. The rat was still in the bed, but the antennas of the cat, they started on the radar something came. There's something here for us. The antenna started moving. Then there's something. And the minute he just opened the bed, 12 years of training finished, gone down the drain. This is our nafs. So until you are not, you don't realize, today we don't even think that nafs is our enemy. And you then consciously, it must be all the time. If somebody tells you somebody is making jadu on you, it's just a rumor. And how many houses are broken because of this false talk? That mother-in-law making jadu, neighbors making, how bad will I feel? And Allah told you nafs is your enemy. Shaitan is your enemy. And aduwwu mubin. And ammaratu bisu. We don't listen to Allah. And somebody just tell you that somebody in the family is making jadu. Oh, how much fights take place. What and what troubles don't take place. And Allah told us, we don't listen to that. So then, when the threat came off, the 12 years training went away. So your nafs, no matter how long you train, you don't know how it will destroy yourself. But so when you will now become nafsi, like one, you have now reached some stage where you're feeling guilty. You make yoga istighfar. Now you go to mashayikh to take treatment. Now you realize you are sick. Generally, we don't even think we are sick. I know that. Whether I make only Juma namaz, I'm a good Muslim. Whether I don't keep the beer, Islam is not in the beer, my Islam is in my heart. So I don't have to show that I'm a good Muslim. We don't even think we are something. How our women dress, how our children we are dressing them in good, good homes, pious homes, but the dressing of the children, and it's no sickness, we don't realize we are sick. Now after 15 suparas, in other words a long effort, you will at least come to realize I'm sick. And a person who is in denial won't take treatment. If you are a drug addict, an alcoholic, anything else between denial, no, I got no problem. You don't go for treatment. But when you accept now, I got a problem. And then you go for treatment, this is our Naqsal Al-Bama. And once there, only one supara more now. That was 15 suparas, in other words, like 15 years, 30 years of your life. Now in the 29th supara, when you realize that you went for treatment, your nafs will become nafs-e mutma'inna. Now that nafs will be under control. The ruh is controlling the nafs now. Then, wallah, I say, life of Jannah is in this dunya. You will enjoy. Today, how sad is it? How many of us, with our own halal lives, we don't get enjoyment. Looking at filthy woman, there you get enjoyment. What is the condition of that person who doesn't get enjoyment in halal and he gets enjoyment in haram? What is the condition of that person? A person, Allahu Akbar. Maulana As'adullah Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, was the Nazim of Saharanpur Madrasa. He said, one of the very beautiful, effective forms which will help us tremendously if we are concerned of our Islam. He said, Nazirko in Surah Ruhoko Zindaha. Don't ever look at this road, the beauties of the road, the painted dollies, their red cheeks and red lips and all their makeup and all how they make themselves. Never ever look at them. Never look at them. Nazirko in Surah Ruhoko Zindaha. When you see them, read, oh Allah, save me from the fire of Jannah. How beautifully he has compared the red flames of the fire of Jannah with their red lips and their red cheeks. He says, this is not red lips and cheeks, this is the fire of Jannah. Like the Quran says, people who don't give their offerings, they share in the inheritance. And they eat it up themselves. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ الْيَتَامَى ظُلْمًا إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا. Obviously it looks you are having biryani, you are having kebab, you are having seed kebab, you are having roast, but actually it's the fire of Jahannam you are cooking. So when you are seeing that woman, the street, filthy, dirty woman, naked woman, then remember it's the fire of Jahannam you are cooking. And a person who gets enjoyment in looking in the fire of Jahannam, how can that person be? He's not a mad person, he's not a stupid person, he's a person who has lost his iman. Only that person can. And when you are looking, the person who looks and the person who is looked at presents himself to be looked at, Allah's lanat comes on those people, on whom Allah's lanat, the curses, the fire of Jahannam has wrecked a person, and he's starting to enjoy and getting pleasure. What kind of a person is that? He's a mad person, not mad person. He's a person that your teeth, your taste buds are finished. So you get no taste, your temperature is gone 108, 110. Now your biryani doesn't taste nice. In fact, in the smell of biryani, then you want to vomit also. Because you are a sick person. This is our condition. And this is that the person takes treatment. And wallah, I say, in this time today, there are thousands of people who are taking the treatment and they came out. And now the nafsi became nafsi mutma'inna. Now they are at ease. And if nafsi mutma'inna is a nafs of Jannah in this world. And then further, there were three stages of nafs and two more stages honorary Allah Ta'ala. And that will be at the time when you go towards Allah Ta'ala. Ya ayyatuha nafsul mutma'inna. You make effort. Those who make effort, your nafs won't become mutma'inna on its own. That you just hope I become a doctor and you don't go, you don't have to take admission in a university, you don't go to study, you don't do anything, or I'll become a doctor just like that, sitting at home. Never ever. And what is becoming a doctor? What is becoming a lawyer? Anything, in fact, what is it even becoming a maulana? Becoming a hafiz also, if your nafs is not in control. The main thing is, for every person, his nafs must come in control.
Which is under control at the time of God. Allah announces and says, Ya ayyatuhan nafsul mutma'inna. Oh, that's that is completely at ease. You are controlling your ruh, properly your ruh, doesn't it? Control you, doesn't harm you at all. Irji'i ila rabbi'i. Now come back home. When you have to go home, a person, how many people go for holidays, everything. When they come home, home, sweet home. The real home is not our home, Laksa Avenue or whatever, Kismat Lane or whatever else. Our real home is in Jannah. And now when you are going to return home, return to Jannah. Irji'i ila rabbi'i. Raziyatan marziya, raziya, please Allah Ta'ala. Another title Allah gives the time at the time of Allah. Marziya, Allah is pleased with you also. And then again, what does Allah Ta'ala say? How interesting Quran Sharif? Yeah, Allah gives us taste of Quran Sharif. First thing Allah says, now for this nafs, you have been successful in everything, but you don't go to the next road today. Wait a little bit. But Khudi'i Ibadi says, go into my special ibadi, my special service, by whom you went and you got your nafs under control. Those who we call the Ahlullah, the Awliya, those people who you went to and they gave you the treatment, the mashal, and your nafs came under control because of their barakah, now you are going to Jannah. Your nafs became mutma'inna, your nafs became radiyah, your nafs became marziyah. So first go and pay them and make say jazakallah to them. First go to them, and after that, what will be Jannah? By all means, go to my Jannah now. And sadaa ke liye jao, and mazay ke liye, mazay uraate, uraate raho, koi Jannah, and get all your enjoyment. But first, we'll thank those people through whose barakah you came to this. So this is again what our mission in life is. The test, Allah didn't put us in dunya to build big houses. Allah didn't put us to make a lot of money. Allah didn't put us here to get big titles or anything. Allah put us here for the scale that you must get your nafs under control. That is what the Quran is saying. That is what our purpose of life is. Let the ruh control the nafs. And then you will see that at the time of mort, you are going to eternal enjoyment. Otherwise, how sad it is, not today. Number of years ago, a doctor in Pakistan, not in South Africa, in Pakistan, in a hospital he worked, he says 100 patients, at the time of mort I was present, and I told them to read kalima, to make dua, istighfar. He said only 3 read kalima, out of 100, and this is not today, some years ago. It's not South Africa, it is Pakistan. We take it for granted that we are in order, we are quite in order. At the time of mort, it will come out whether we were in order or not. And a person who fails there, his fail is gone into such azab of the qabr, which we cannot imagine, Allah save us. Such azab on the day of Qiyamah. Today, in ordinary talk, in our house, for example, my mother-in-law says, I don't want all those things in my life. Kurta, beard and that in my house, I don't want all that. Wearing a boy used to go for the wedding. The girl says, if you don't come in a suit, I don't want this wedding. What are we saying? What's going to happen at the time of war? And today our children, our 6-week-old baby, for example, if you put a kurta on their child, and if it's a girl, you put a burqa. The pious people of the house, old people who are past this age now, but they will say, from now you're making the child look like an old lady. From now on, you're putting kurta on the child, but put bermudas. Put a t-shirt on the child, make him look like a Jew or Christian. Nobody got objection. It is 100% acceptable to us. So what is the condition of our iman? Let us think a little bit of today to our children for madrasa education, no time. For school, extra time. How much money for school, tuition, and university, and uniforms, and textbooks, and exercise books. What money are we spending? But for me, it's a waste of time. How many people clearly say that if you want to come into, you want to become a monana, you are there. You want to become a monana, you must become a doctor, you must become a lawyer. What words are we, and this is in good families, I'm not, this is the people who are here now in the masjid. I'm not speaking about those people who don't come to masjid, who are far from the masjid. This is our condition. One person said, one student came to me, he's graduating this year.
He said, my father also was done, and usually at the Dharam in Azadha, when they graduate, you contact the fathers also on the stage. He said, people will call my father on the stage, but he wears a shirt and trousers. Oh, he said, only one day in his life he had to walk with her, just for a little while. And then he told me, my mother, that I can't, I'm uncomfortable in a kurta. So this is our condition, we are not comfortable in a kurta. We only comfortable in Western dress, etc. Then think, what is our condition? So it's a serious matter. It's not a thing to be taken light and to be taken lying down. It's not a thing to put in a priority list, I'll see you know, 2 weeks next week. After 2 weeks, it's a matter of iman and it's now. That the reality of iman and that our ruh controls our nafs. Otherwise, the nafs is in control and he will be totally destroyed. So inshallah, tomorrow we'll be having the Islahi Jalsa in Masjid Umar from Asr to Isha. It is all on the same subject, how we can become conscious. And it's not that I can promise you, wallah, in the sect, it's not difficult, it's not hard. In fact, you will get great enjoyment. And your every person's Islam. Remember, I'm not just saying a masala again, just an example. Your haram insurance policy can write a car off, it's a writer. The penal reader can say it's a writer. But by Allah, nobody's ever a writer. The people who were not in the qadras, who were not in the suwas, they were noble. So filthy, dirty. And Allah, when they made Toba, Allah made them the king of the awliya. And there are many such awliya who are alcoholics, who are humanizers, who are highway robbers, actually. But they made Toba and they made the connection with some great Allah wala, jigar murada. He was an alcoholic who the doctors told, if you don't drink, you'll die. So you ask them, how long will I live? They said, for so many years. He says, if I die tomorrow, doesn't matter. But he gave up when he made his contact with Maulana Thani. And then he became such a great wali, a person who was such an alcoholic. And how many other people? Haja Aziz ul Hasan Sahib, he was a politician. A politician in the time of the British. He served the British government in India. But when he made contact with Maulana Thani, he came to that level, that great, great ulama like Mufti Shafi Sahib, ulama Abdul Ghani Pulpuri Rahmatullah. When they were present, nobody should speak, only Haja Sahib. Such a position. So this is when the ruh comes in control. When we make contact with Allah wala and in genuine contact, not for name's sake, not just for customary, and we have no contact with our share. No, you go to a doctor, he gave you medicine, the prescription also, you frame it up. I got a prescription from the top doctor of the world, and you frame it in a gold frame. And the medicine, you put it in a golden case. You don't take it, what you do with medicine. So you go to a chef and you don't keep any contact, you don't do what he says, then the Lord is not going to come. Have a contact. Maulana Thani Rahmatullah Ali says, the husband is in Bombay, the wife is in Delhi. And they make the Hajjud Namaz, both of them, crying to Allah for a child. How are they going to get the child? If they meet for 1 minute proper meeting, in 9 months they can expect results. So if you don't meet your share, you don't go to your share, no dialogue with your share, many of us will become bad and we say they know your benefit. You just think in the earth and it's nothing. But keep the proper content. And then see what where a child is born, yet reality of being will come into your life. You'll come to know what Islam and what Iman and the love of Allah, the love of Nabi Ali Salat wa Salam, the love of Quran and the understanding of Quran. Allah, that the only treasures there in the world are in deen. But we are looking for it outside. How can you find it? One person, poor person, who has nothing in his life besides one gold coin. So he lost it. And he was living in a ten shanty, he lost it in a ten shanty. He went and looking for it outside on the street. So a friend coming past, asking what's wrong, he said, I lost. Only thing I got in my life is this gold coin and I lost it. He also felt it, but he started looking. And as his comment, where you lost it? I lost it in my tent shanty. Then why are you looking for it here? Because there's a bright light. In my tent shanty, I've got no lights. So how can you find it? You can look for it as the cows go home. Go in the tent shanty, use a candle. You haven't got a candle also? Just move your hand around in the dark. Where you lost it, you will find it. Today, we lost our honor and our peace of mind and our security by turning away from deen. And where are we looking for it? In nightmare. We are looking for it in the bright, lighted up places. We are looking for it in universities, in colleges, in secular education, in our businesses we are looking, in our beautiful mansions we are looking. It's not kept there. It's kept in need, complete need, the reality of being in your life. And wallah, you will find it. May Allah give us topic, inshallah. So glad to come, inshallah, tomorrow for the Islam teachers also. And may Allah put in our hearts that we have to take treatment. And then look for a doctor who you agree with, who you have affinity. Become bad to that doctor. That is making a doctor. And then take his treatment, and then you will see the benefit. I can promise you, you will be surprised, as I was surprised. And we should tell our Shaykh, by your barakat, alhamdulillah, Allah has given us this blessing that. He said, abhi kya dekha, abhi to dekho kya. What have you still seen? What Allah is still going to give in the future? Allah is unlimited, His favors are unlimited. You just come on this path and you see what Allah will favor you with. You don't have to be a Maulana, you don't have to be a Hafiz. You don't even have to be biased now. You just make the intention of changing and come on the right path and see what blessings Allah will bless you. That is in dunya. And after what Allah will give forever and ever, you can't imagine. May Allah give us all. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala ashrafil anbiya wal mursaleen. Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب عمل يقربنا إلى حبك اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها فأنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها اللهم ارحمنا بترك المعاصي ولا تشقنا في معصيتك وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله.